Welcome back to NewsWorks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. At full and new moon this month and next, the ancient horseshoe crab emerges from the sea to spawn and lay its eggs. And that's precisely when the migratory red knot bird en route from Argentina to the Arctic will fuel up on those eggs, where the world's largest population is concentrated in the Delaware Bay off the coasts of New Jersey and Delaware. Let's go there with Deborah Kramer, author of The Narrow Edge, A Tiny Bird, An Ancient Crab, and An Epic Journey. Deborah, thanks for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Deborah, by the time the red knot arrives in our region, it will have completed more than two-thirds of its epic journey north. What in turn has compelled you to log tens of thousands of miles to follow and study the red knot's annual trek?
Well, the first time I went to Delaware Bay, I was astounded by two things. One, I went down to a beach in the middle of the night, and the tide was high, and the moon was full, and thousands of horseshoe crabs were coming in to spawn. I could see them in an unlimited line of horseshoe crabs in either direction. If I had been an hour earlier or an hour later, I would have missed the whole thing because they would have gone back into the water. And then the next day, I went down to the beach, and there were thousands of birds frantically scurrying across the beach, trying to eat the eggs that had been churned up by the waves. And I was curious, why were these birds in such a hurry? Where were they going that they were running so fast? And where had they come from that they were so hungry? And that's what led me to follow them along this migration that runs the length of two whole continents.
And we learned that their southernmost point is really the tip of South America. Take us to Tierra del Fuego.
Tierra del Fuego is a stunningly beautiful place. It's completely unlike Delaware Bay, where the birds are crowded on a very few beaches. On the beaches in Tierra del Fuego, where I went to see them, the beach stretches 64 miles. And when the tide is out, the tidal flat reaches 7 miles out to sea. It's the only place in the world where I've stood at the edge of the water and not really been able to see it. So it's very difficult to find the birds there. And I think we waited probably 3 or 4 hours as the tide was coming in. And in the distance, you could see a tiny whiff of smoke, which was not a whiff of smoke, but actually a flock of birds. And as the tide came closer and closer, the whiff of smoke got bigger and darker. And when the tide was high, there were approximately, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 birds right at the edge of the water. And we were able to basically watch them for another couple of hours before they left.
And the horseshoe crab has been around, well, it's one of the world's oldest extant creatures, isn't that right?
Yes, and when I wrote my first book, Great Waters, all the science seemed to say that this animal was 350 million years old. By the time I finished this book, scientists in Canada and in Morocco had found even older fossils, so now the crab is 475 million years old. It survived every single one of Earth's great mass extinctions, including one that wiped out 97% of life in the sea. And every other animal that was living at that time, 475 million years ago, is extinct.
Most recently, it endured man's use of it primarily as a fertilizer, more recently as bait. For those of us who love the Maryland Blue Point crab, let's note that this is not really a crab. In fact, apparently it's more linked to the terrestrial spider.
That's true. It's more related to a scorpion or a spider, but since most people know it as a horseshoe crab, that's how I refer to it in the book.
And what many may or may not realize is the extent to which it's inexorably linked with modern medicine.
Yes, it's kind of astonishing that we are so dependent on an animal that is this old, but it has a unique property of its blood being exquisitely sensitive to potentially lethal and dangerous contamination in all of the vaccines that are made, injectable drugs, and implanted medical devices like heart stents and hip replacements. So all of those drugs and devices are free of this particular kind of bacterial contamination because the blue blood of the horseshoe crab is able to detect it.
Was that leading to a dangerous depletion in its population?
The biggest threat to horseshoe crabs is taking them for bait. There's really no need to take horseshoe crabs to catch eel and whelk when there is an alternative bait that could be used. So if we weren't taking horseshoe crabs for bait, the population would be able to rebound. In South Carolina, the bait industry, the horseshoe crab bait industry, has been banned, and that population of horseshoe crabs is stable.
What are some of the pressures that are compelling the diminished sightings of the red knot?
The biggest one that contributed to the bird's population plummeting by 75% was that the birds couldn't get enough horseshoe crab eggs to eat because we'd been taking so many. The horseshoe crab lays its eggs in the sand, and it lays about 80,000 in a season. The waves sometimes dislodge some of the eggs, and it's those eggs that the birds are eating. To put this in some kind of perspective, in order for the bird to gain the weight that it needs to eat 400,000 eggs in the 10 days that it's in Delaware Bay. So 40,000 knots need 16 billion eggs. And so the density of eggs has to be really, really high. When there are enough horseshoe crab eggs, 90% of the birds are surviving from year to year, and almost all of them are doubling their weight. When there aren't enough horseshoe crab eggs, the survival rate goes way down to maybe 56%. And if you had 100 birds on a beach, at the low point of this, only 30 of them would have been gaining the weight they needed. That's why the numbers really dropped.
Does the red knot enjoy protected status?
When I started writing the book, it didn't. But as the book was going to press, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided to list it as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, and that went into effect this past January. So when they come north this year, and they're just arriving in Delaware Bay, they have this new status.
Throughout history, there are famous examples of extinctions, be it the passenger pigeon, dodo bird, ivory-billed woodpecker, near extinctions like the spoon-billed sandpiper, though there are also some success stories. The bald eagle and brown pelican come to mind. Are you hopeful that the red knot will survive?
I am very hopeful for a couple of reasons. I'm all along the flyway, I met dozens of people they're devoting their entire lives toward making sure that this bird has safe harbor every place it comes. These people are inspiring in the work that they do. I'm very hopeful that this additional listing under the Endangered Species Act will provide more resources for them to do the job that needs to be done.
Deborah Kramer, thanks so much for joining us on NewsWorks Tonight.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Deborah Kramer is the author of The Narrow Edge, A Tiny Bird, An Ancient Crab, and An Epic Journey.